Okay, Michael, let's see where we're up to. We'll turn to Chav Gimel. And we got to Rav Sheshes, which is, how shall I describe it? You have it? Okay, great. Rav Sheshes, about 15 lines down from the top. So what we said was Achsenoi Chayov B'ner Chana.
Hello, Michael.
Oh, Yaakov, I'm in the middle of the Shia, Yaakov.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Achsenoi Chayov B'ner Chana. Now, the last thing we discussed about Achsenoi, which is somebody who is a guest in someone's house, is what would be the status of a guest in the shul. And there's a minhag, as you know, which is codified in Shulchan Aruch, that we light Chanukah candles in the synagogue. And there are various shittas as to why we light Chanukah candles in the synagogue. One shita is, it's on behalf of those who are living in the synagogue, who are homeless, or at least temporarily homeless. And you know, in our context, this is very rare, but it could happen even in our time. And certainly back in the day, it was quite common. We mentioned the minhag of reciting Kiddush on Friday night in shul for the benefit of those who are living in the shul. And the question really that we have to focus on is whether the Beis HaKnesses itself could be considered a bias. We said that the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is Ner Yishu Beiso, and Beiso seems to mean that there's someone who possesses the house. He has ownership of the house. In the case of the Beis HaKnesses, there's no individual that you can point to who owns the Beis HaKnesses. It's rather a public entity. And this is going to touch on many, many different cases and situations, scenarios in which there's a public gathering in a building, in a structure. Can that structure become a bias? And therefore you could have Hadlokas Ner Chanukah in such a structure. Now, as opposed to some sort of public gathering, in the case of the Beis HaKnesses, we have what's called Orchim. We have people who are literally sleeping and eating in the Beis HaKnesses. So for example, if a whole group of Jews would get together in a synagogue during Chanukah, and let's say it's at night, and they're together for some sort of a, we'll call it a gathering that's in memory of, you know, of certain people that passed away. So that would not really fit into the mold of what we're talking about here of an achsenoi, because an achsenoi is actually living in the house at this point. He's eating and he's sleeping in the house. That's not the case of a gathering of Jews who are in a building. That doesn't mean that they light Ner Chanukah necessarily. But in the case of a synagogue where there are people who are living in the synagogue, the issue is going to be whether that synagogue has the status of a bias vis-a-vis the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, Ner Yishu Beiso. Now, if we assume, and this is a gigantic assumption, that every male, every female, every mature person in Klal Yisrael is obligated in Hadlokas Ner Chanukah, just that there's no possibility of fulfilling that chiyuv without a bias, so the bias now makes it possible for a person to implement their chiyuv, so the achsenoi is chayav in Ner Chanukah, just like anyone else is chayav in Ner Chanukah, but the question is, how does he implement that chiyuv? How does he fulfill that obligation? He needs a bias, and he doesn't really have a bias. If he would be considered part of the bias, then certainly the Baal HaBayis would light, and he would be yotze with the Baal HaBayis. But here we're saying that he has to have his own ner. He has to have his own Ner Chanukah. But he needs a bias. Now, in the case of Beis HaKnesses, do we consider that a bias? Bishlema, if he's an achsenoi, he's a guest in someone's home, so that person is the Baal HaBayis, and that sets up the bias as a bias that needs Ner Chanukah. Every bias in Israel needs a Ner Chanukah. So the achsenoi now could fulfill his personal obligation in Ner Chanukah in that bias.
Who's the Baal HaBayis?
We'll call him Reuven. So Reuven owns a house, and he's
just like a house that happens.
But we'll get to basic Knesset in just a minute. But again, in your model case, yeah. Reuven owns a house. Shimon is now a guest in Reuven's house. So the halacha requires that Reuven's house be equipped with a Ner Chanukah. Now, if Shimon as an oreach, as a nachsanya, has an obligation to light Ner Chanukah, just we need a bias, we could say, well, he can use the bias of Reuven. But in the case of the Beis HaKnesses, here it becomes more complicated. It's true that Shimon lives in the Beis HaKnesses, right? He's a guest of the Beis HaKnesses, but there's no Reuven here who owns the Beis HaKnesses. So therefore, would the Beis HaKnesses be considered a bias?
I would say Beis HaKnesses in general is a shitfus of all the members of Beis HaKnesses, in a sense, own a Beis HaKnesses. Because if it happens that Chas V'Shalom, which has happened in communities where they end up needing to sell the shul, you know, right. They have to close down the shul. So what happens, I mean, those that do it, the members of that board or whatever, actually do have an achrayus to the shul. So right. I don't know if you could say that.
So that's only on a financial basis. And it's something called a kinyan tzibur. The question is, who represents that tzibur? But to say that that's a bias for Yisrael that requires an Ner Chanukah, just because the Beis HaKnesses is publicly owned, that's difficult. You know, nobody's living in that house except for one simple oreach. So Rav Soloveitchik wanted machadish a gevaldige chiddush, and he wants to say the following: how do you define a bias as far as Ner Chanukah? And he suggested the following definition. Whenever there's an obligation to light in that house, that becomes a bias for Ner Chanukah. So let me repeat, and then we'll get into detail. This is Rav Soloveitchik, my Rebbe. He would say the following, that what is a bias as far as Ner Chanukah is concerned? It's a bias for the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. If there's an obligation to light in that bias, that makes it, that upgrades it to the status of a bias for Ner Chanukah. Now he goes in that a step further. And he says that there are two categories of a bias as far as the obligation of Ner Chanukah. One is a bias where people live, where they sleep, they eat, there's a household that occupies and dwells in that house. And every bias be Yisrael needs a Ner Chanukah. But then he says there's another category. And that's a place that because of its nature, and I'll explain what that means in just a second, it requires a Ner Chanukah. Not because there's a family living there, nobody's occupying that house, but rather because this house is dedicated for a mitzvah of Chanukah. Now, how can you have a bias that's dedicated for the mitzvah of Chanukah and obligates you to light a Ner if there's nobody living in the house? So Rav Soloveitchik said, that's a special chiyuv called Beis HaKnesses. Beis HaKnesses is not your classical first category of a bias as far as Ner Chanukah. There's not a household that lives on a permanent basis in the Beis HaKnesses. There may be Orchim that come in and out. But nevertheless, the Beis HaKnesses has to be equipped with a Ner Chanukah. So Rav Soloveitchik asked the following question: why does the Beis HaKnesses generate an obligation of Ner Chanukah? And he answered that the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah requires connecting to the Beis HaMikdash. Where did the miracle occur? It occurred in the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. So we want the Ner Chanukah to, in a sense, project us into the Beis HaMikdash. But we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So how are we going to clinch that connection between the Ner Chanukah and the Beis HaMikdash? And the end. Yeah, but what, any menorah? Maybe any menorah, but Rav Soloveitchik wants to isolate a certain menorah, not one menorah, but I mean a certain menorah in a certain place. Where is that? In the Beis HaKnesses. Why would the Beis HaKnesses link your Ner Chanukah to the Beis HaMikdash? Exactly. Mikdash Ma'ar. In other words, after the Churban HaBayis, the Beis HaKnesses takes on a brand new status. And this has tremendous halachic ramifications way beyond the context and the four walls of Chanukah. For example, the equation between Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMikdash generates an Iser D'Oraisa of Ma'abed Es Hamigdash. The Torah says, Lo Tasun Kein Lashem Elokeichem. That's a lav. You don't have to know this. But there's a lav to destroy the Beis Hamigdash. Again, our enemies don't care about that lav. But we care about that lav. And if somebody would take a stone from the Beis Hamigdash and remove it, he violates a lav d'oraisa. The Rambam extends this violation even to a Beis HaKnesses. That to take apart a Beis HaKnesses is a violation of that law. And many Rishonim hold that the mitzvah d'oraisa called kavod v'yira, which means we have to respect and awe for the Beis HaMikdash, applies to the Beis HaKnesses as well. And that's a little bit scary because you'll see people who come into a shul wearing sandals and different kinds of things in a Beis HaMikdash. You would not be allowed to do that. It's a separate mitzvah of mora and kavod. Again, I'm not paskening shilas here. That's not what we're here for. I'm just mentioning to you that there are issues in Psak Halacha about how you walk into a shul and what you're wearing on your feet. Because in a Beis HaMikdash, you have to wear certain things on your feet, and so too in a Beis HaKnesses, which has Kedushas Migdash. I'll give you another example of Kedushas Migdash. The Halacha is that you're not allowed to plant trees in the Makom HaMikdash. Let's say, for example, if I want to go onto the Har Bayis, and if I could locate the Makom HaZorah, I'm not allowed to plant a tree there. That's a lav d'oraisa. What about in the case of a base slichani b'emtza shiur? What about in the case of a base haknesses? So this is a major machlokus in the poskim. Vega, for example, is of the opinion you're not allowed to plant a tree in a base haknesses. The only issue is where in the base haknesses. Certainly, Rabbi Kivega would oppose planting a tree inside the four walls of a Beis HaKnesses. Whether or not he would go as far as to prohibit what's called Chatzer Beis HaKnesses, just like there's a din in the entire Azorah with regard to Beis HaMikdash, there might be a din in the Chatzer Beis HaKnesses. That has to be studied at great length. But just to make life a little bit easier for ourselves, we'll just establish the following analogy, the following equation. Beis HaKnesses is our replacement of a Beis HaMikdash. And many of the dinim that apply to a Beis HaMikdash, to the Beis HaMikdash, will apply to the Beis HaKnesses. Well, if that be the case, what would be the most profound way of connecting Ner Chanukah to the Beis HaMikdash, where the original miracle took place? Lighting in the Beis HaKnesses. And therefore, every synagogue in Israel, I don't care if you're a Yemenite, you're a Sephardi, you're an Ashkenazi, whatever you are, will have a Ner Chanukah with brachos in a Beis HaKnesses. Why? Because that is the most profound bias as far as connecting us back to the Beis HaMikdash. Oh, now let's get back to the Archim that we started with. A person lives in a shul right now. Right? They have a place somewhere in the back of the shul for Archim, and maybe they eat meals in the shul, whatever they're allowed to do. Again, you have to know the halachos. Now he's obligated in Ner Chanukah, but he needs what? What was the precondition to fulfilling Ner Chanukah? He needs a bias. Oh, the answer is that the Beis HaKnesses now becomes a bias. Why is the Beis HaKnesses a bias? There's no household of people who live in that Beis HaKnesses. So live in the Beis HaKnesses. So as far as Kol Bayis V'Bayis V'Yisrael, you know that commemoration of Pirsa Banes has to take place and guarantee that every Bayis V'Yisrael should be equipped with the Ner Chanukah. Why does that apply to a Beis HaKnesses? Just because you're an Oreach? The answer is since you're an Oreach, you can fulfill your personal obligation as long as you light the candle in a bias. And the Beis HaKnesses, as far as Ner Chanukah, is a bias. And here we have an interesting overlap of the two categories of a bias. What do I mean? The classical definition of a bias, which means a household where there's a Baal Bayis, like we mentioned, Reuven owns a house and he has a whole family and they light the candles. That's not applicable to a Beis HaKnesses. But as far as the Oreach is concerned, the Achsenoi, since he has a personal obligation to light the Ner Chanukah, he just needs a bias. We're going to now cross pollinate, and we're going to go into a different category of a bias. And that too, even though it's Betorah's Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaMikdash, but since it has the status of a bias, as far as the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is concerned, the Oreach now who's living in the shul can take advantage of that bias, which is a bias that generates Ner Chanukah, and he can fulfill his personal obligation by lighting in the Beis HaKnesses. Again, does he personally have to be the one who lights it? The answer is no. Whoever lights it on behalf of the Orchim. So it's interesting that we now have a whole new perspective on why we light the Ner Chanukah in the Beis HaKnesses. According to this approach, it's because of the Orchim. Michael?
Nowadays, Jim, you have Orchim, but somebody does light the menorah and they make a bracha. Once they've made that bracha, what happens when they get home? They're allowed to make another bracha?
Yeah, I'll tell you why. Because they don't have the status of Orchim, and the mitzvah of lighting in the Beis HaKnesses is not incumbent upon any individual, unless he's an Oreach, but rather on the community as a whole. Marshal Amad over Dover, it's similar to the case of Hallel. We'll read Hallel, let's say, for those who have the minig on Leil HaPesach in the shul, but that's not a personal obligation. That's a kiyum of the tzibur, that the entire tzibur should publicize the miracle by reading Hallel. Then when he gets home, he has another kiyum of Hallel, b'toras yachid. So whenever you yotze yachovas tzibur, that doesn't exonerate you or relieve you of the obligation as a yachid, as an individual. So that even the person who made the three brachas, you know, here's a very interesting case. He's going to recite Shechyonu on the first night. He's going to come home and recite Shechyonu. Why? Because it's a brand new mitzvah. And in the light of what we've discussing, the difference between the mitzvah in the Beis HaKnesses, where he represented the tzibur, and the mitzvah that he has as a yachid when he gets home, is that the first case is a mitzvah Beis HaMikdash. But towards Beis HaMikdash, we want to make a zecher for the miracle in the Beis HaMikdash, where the miracle took place, and that's the Beis HaKnesses. Then there's another chiyuv of Beiso, of every individual bias is required to set up its own Ner Chanukah. For example, if you were to ask me, when should you light the Ner Chanukah in the Beis HaMikdash, you might have a whole different set of rules and regulations that don't apply to the Ner in your bias. So even, let's say, according to Poskim, who say that in the bias, when you get home, you have to wait till Tzeis HaKochavim, in the Beis HaKnesses, we're going to light candles, again, the different minhagim, but many have the minhag of lighting before Ma'ariv, before Tzeis HaKochavim. And the reason for that is because since the obligation is on the tzibur, it's on the whole community, what gives the people who are in the synagogue a status of a community? It's just that we all gather together in one building. The answer is we daven mincha together. And now we're about to daven ma'ariv together. So we anticipate ma'ariv. So to light the candles in the Beis HaKnesses before mincha would be meaningless because there's no community. To light the candles in the Beis HaMikdash in the Beis HaKnesses after ma'ariv would also be meaningless because again there's no community. Kol echad holech l'darko, we spread out. But in between, in that sandwiched area between Mincha and Ma'ariv, that's when it's appropriate to light the candles in the Beis HaKnesses. Because then, there is the existence of a tzibur. The tzibur was engendered by Mincha, and it continues and maintains that status as a tzibur until Ma'ariv, anticipating Ma'ariv. And then, it's appropriate to light Ner Chanukah. What about the Orchim? The Orchim will be Yotze, their personal chiyuv, in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Beis HaKnesses. Why? Where's the bias? The answer is because since the kiyum of Ner Chanukah exists in the Beis HaKnesses, they can take advantage of that kiyum and fulfill their personal obligation in the Beis HaKnesses.
I heard correctly, if I remember correctly, you said the Rav, I think we learned it, held that in the house an Oreach has to give a proof.
Oh, that's the next line in the Gemara. Oh, so let's read the next line in the Gemara. Om Rav Zera, and I shall be right with you in a second. When I was a bachar, I was still single, and I would stay in my Rebbe's house, mishtatafna bepriti bahadi ushpiza. I would chip in for the shemen of the Nair. Priti means a few pennies. I think what the Gemara wants to demonstrate here is that you don't have to give, let's say the shemen is worth a dollar, you know, you don't have to give 50 cents, just a few prutos. A pruta is enough to establish a kinyan, and now you have part ownership as a partner on the shemen. Then Reb Zera goes on to say, Avol basar de nesivei issa, so once I got married, then I don't have to chip in to my Rebbe's shemen, but rather Amina, I will declare, hashto vadai lo tzrichna, because the komadli ki alei begobesa, my wife is lighting back at home, and I'm yotze with her lighting at home in the bias, and therefore I no longer have an obligation as an ushpiza, as an achsano. But here's the question that we want to raise over here. Rabbi Zera adds another element into the equation. We didn't see this in Rav Sheshes. It wasn't at least crystal clear in Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes just says that the Aksanoi is obligated in the Ner Chanukah. But how does he fulfill the Ner Chanukah? Does he light his own candle? Says Rav Zera, yes and no. He does have to light his own candle, but he doesn't actually light his own candle, but rather his candle has to be lit. And the question that I want to raise with you is, what's the point there? If he can be yotzei the mitzvah through the lighting in the bayis, then why shouldn't he light his own candle? And number two, if he, for some reason, doesn't light his own candle, how does he vicariously fulfill his obligation, if it's a personal obligation of Ner Chanukah, by chipping in for the Ner? Okay. Asher, you wanted to ask something before.
I wanted to ask about the minhag of lighting the shul during the day. So I thought, okay, maybe that the Rambam.
That's based on the Rambam, yeah.
Yes, because is that based on the Rambam?
Sure,
that
for sure.
In other words,
that halacha of Shraga B'tira Mai Mahani doesn't apply in the case of a Beis HaMikdash, and our Beis HaKnesses replaced the Beis HaMikdash.
Right, but according to the Rambam, it would.
And the Rambam doesn't have the principle of Shraga D'tira Mai Mahani with regard to Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash is the exception to the rule. Therefore, he requires that you light the candles even during the day. Okay. Now, Rabbi said, what's during the point of being Mishtatev Bepruta? What is this all about? So yesterday, I gave you a printout of an article, and he says the following. He says, Mishum hochi olav lishtate peprutim balabayis, she yesh lo chovas hadloka bebeis, so vayidei shtatvus bepruta hu choshiv kishlucho lemaisa hadloka. Now this line, in my humble opinion, is ambiguous. It needs a lot of work. Fine-tuning, as I call it. Because if you read this line on a simple, straightforward level, it sounds like the Balabais is going to serve in the capacity of a shliach on behalf of the Aksanoi. How does the Aksanoi appoint the Balabais as a shliach? By giving him a pruta. Well, I have two major questions. Number one, if you're telling me that the Balabais is serving as a shliach, who needs it? Why can't the Aksanoi just simply light his own candle? Meaning, whenever you have shlichus, shlichus is a substitute for someone who can't implement the action. Like, for example, a man is in Africa, and the woman that he wants to marry is across the seas. You know, she's in Alaska, so he's going to appoint the shliach. But certainly, he can do it himself. And if all things were equal, we would encourage him and recommend that he do it himself. Here, for some reason, the Aksanoi is not going to light his own candle. He's going to be yotzei with the candle of the Balabais. That's question number one. Why can't he light his own candle? Question number two, why then is he being mishtatev for pruta? Where do we ever find in halacha that in order for me to establish you and appoint you as my agent, as my shlich, I've got to give you money. I give you a payoff. And the third question that I want to ask is, I'm not sure that shlichus operates b'chlal in mitzvos, and certainly not in Ner Chanukah. What do I mean? Can I appoint you as my shliach to put on tefillin for me? Can I appoint you as my shliach to wear a talis for me? Obviously not. And the reason for that is there's no shlichus in mitzvos. Shlichus only applies, agency applies in what we call Gittin v'kiddushin, kinyanim, meaning what's called, again, in the fancy jargon, chalushev. I'm not going to go into that because that's a two-hour discussion, but it means whenever there's juridic actions that have implications and a change of status, like, for example, I want you to own this table so I can send the shliach. But when it's a mitzvah and I have to get involved personally, I can't ask you to do the mitzvah on my behalf.
But here's my shliach, he's a shutah.
Oh, so that's why I don't understand. The language is very ambiguous. He says, "Dechoshiv kishlucho." So I would write a footnote here, you know, if I had the power to do so, or write a letter to the editor, and I would say that this is a little misleading here. What do you mean, choshiv kishlucho? First of all, where do we find that I have shlichus in Ner Chanukah? Where do I find that I pay money for a shlichus? The whole thing is off kilter. For example, if shlichus works in Ner Chanukah, can I appoint you as my shliach to light somewhere on the face of the earth? We never found such a thing. My wife could light on my behalf in the bayis because she accomplishes, you know, the equipping the bayis, as we said, with an Ner Chanukah. But shlichus, I'm going to appoint you as my shliach. So the whole thing, I think, is a little bit misleading. And I'm going to try to present my understanding. And again, you're the jury. You can decide you like it or you don't like it. There's no kfiat datit over here. This is the one I gave out yesterday. This is Rav Michal Shurkin quoting Rav Soloveitchik. Okay then? Hari Kedem. You know what? I have the original. So, Michael, you can take this one if you like. I don't know if there are any. There should be other copies. No, I don't know. I don't know. Sometimes. Okay. Sometimes we have extra copies.
You want an extra copy?
So, what I want to suggest is the following. We have a problem with the Achsenoy. Why? If he's a guest in the shul, we had a long discussion about that. That's fine. I'd look at the Beis HaKnesses. But he's not a guest in the shul. He's a guest in your home, in my home. Now, what's his status? He's got an obligation to light the Ner Chanukah, but he needs a bias. Now, there's halach of Ner Ish U Beiso. Is he considered Beiso? Well, I have a problem. If he's considered one of... If this is Beiso, meaning he's no... different, he doesn't fall short of any of the other members of the household, he's like the brothers and the sisters, the children, the grandchildren who live in that house, then why does he need a pruta? And if on the other hand we're going to establish that he's not one of the obviously he's not one of the Bnei HaBayis, so how is he yotzei the mitzvah through that luck of the Baal HaBayis? We need another element in the equation, because again, assuming he's not one of the Bnei HaBayis, then we're back to shlichus again, and shlichus doesn't operate in mitzvahs. So how could the Baal HaBayis be motzi him? And I think the answer is that the halacha found a mechanism by which he, the oreach, the achsanoy, becomes one of the members of the bayis. And what is that mechanism? They share one ner. Who owns the ner chanukah? Right? Now, in the case of the classical Ner Ish U'Beiso, they all own the Ner Chanukah jointly. Okay, that's a complicated halacha. I don't know if you've heard of it, called Samuch al Shulchan Aviv, which means that financially there's one entity called the entire bayis.
It's still a problem with Beiso. If you're saying it's a requirement, it's...
Well, how do I solve the problem of Beiso? By making him one of the Bnei HaBayis. Once we make him establish him as one of the Bnei HaBayis, then just like all the other members of the household fulfill their mitzvah, their obligation of Ner Chanukah through the Bayis, he now can jump on board. But the problem is he's not one of the Bnei HaBayis.
So you're saying by becoming a shutaf in the oil, he becomes a...
Yeah, how does that work? How did Chazal envision becoming a shutaf in the Shemen, and therefore you now become one of the Bnei HaBayis? The answer is... they wanted to establish that you have some financial connection to the bayis. The bayis is a financial entity, as we said before. And in the case of Ner Chanukah, the way that you, the oreach, becomes a part of the bayis, becomes financially connected to this bayis, is through the ownership of the ner. As soon as you become a part owner of the ner, and now the Baal HaBayis is lighting your ner, you are considered one of the Bnei HaBayis. Why? Because what establishes the members of the household as one bias? It's the financial connection. It's not blood relatives. You know, you could have a cousin who, let's say, in halacha is not related to you, but he's also considered one of the Bnei HaBayis. Because financially, everything that goes on together. So Chazal wanted to, in a sense, publicize or dramatize the connection between the oreach and the financial entity, which is called a bias. And the mechanism that they found, the agency that they found, was that if he, the oreach, now becomes a part owner in the ner, then at least vis-a-vis the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, that's enough to make him one of the Bnei HaBayis. So it's not shlichus. We're not talking about shlichus. Where do we find shlichus in Ner Chanukah? Not only that, where do we find that you pay money for shlichus in Ner Chanukah? The answer is, we're going back to square one. And that was that question that if he's one of the Bnei HaBayis, then I don't need him to chip into the Ner. He'll be Yotze vicariously through that luck of the Balabayas. But the answer is he's not considered one of the Bnei Abayas. And therefore we need a mechanism by which he becomes one of the Bnei Abayas. And Chazal established that the way to make him into one of the Bnei Abayas vis-a-vis the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is to make him a partner in the Ner Chanukah. Now, Rabbi Zera says, I have a solution to my problem. I don't have to chip in because my wife is lighting in my house. Now here I want to ask you the following question. What did Reb Zera do if, again I can't promise you, but if he came home at night? His wife had already lit the Ner Chanukah, let's say, Tishka Chamad Shetichle Regel B'Nashum. He comes home at 12 midnight. Should he light his own Ner Chanukah? Or, as the Gemara seems to indicate, he fulfilled his mitzvah because his wife lit the Ner Chanukah. So if you'd asked me, you know, wake me up in the middle of the night and ask me for my knee-jerk response, I would say if he wants to light his Ner Chanukah, make a bracha, that would be a bracha of Atola. We're not going to even allow him to do such a thing. Why? Because he's already fulfilled his mitzvah.
His bias is so
good. Comes along the Shevet HaLevi, I don't know if you ever heard of Rav Vosner, he died not long ago, and he says no. He should light his own Ner Chanukah and with a bracha. And the pellets, it's mamish against the sugya. Rav Zera says, I don't have a mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. My wife already established that mitzvah, fulfilled that mitzvah. So how can he come home and set up a Ner Chanukah? And I think that Rav Vosner has a major breakthrough. And he holds that Mahadran itself would generate a mitzvah, a chova of Ner Chanukah, to the extent to which you could make a bracha. What does it mean? It means that he wants to light his own Ner Chanukah. Why does he want to light his own Ner Chanukah? He was Yotze, as the Gemara establishes, through his wife's hadlok. The answer is Ner Lechol Echad V'Echad. What's Ner Lechol Echad V'Echad? So if you remember, we discussed the Ramah. The Ramah says that Ner Lechol Echad V'Echad means that everyone should light their own Chanukah candles. That's against the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch and the Sfaradim, they have one person light, just he adds candles, Kenegi the Mispar B'nei Abayas. But they don't require that each person individually light the Ner Chanukah. The Ashkenazim, following the Ramah, will have it that every single person should light his own Ner Chanukah. So now Rav Zera is in a very strange position. On the one hand, he's yotzei the mitzvah vicariously through his wife's hadlaka. But on the other hand, he's forfeiting the mitzvah of Ner Lechol Echad V'Echad. Because if he holds Ner Lechol Echad V'Echad means that everyone should light their own Ner Chanukah, which that's the Hidur mitzvah, then why is he so excited over here? You know, I'm very excited. Baruch Hashem, I'm married. I'm a married man. My wife is going to light the Ner Chanukah for me. But he's forfeiting the mitzvah of Hidur. Comes along Rav Vosner with an unbelievable chiddush that in the context of Ner Chanukah, there's a new mitzvah called Mahadran. You and I would have said that Mahadran is not a new mitzvah. You know, that's a way of embellishing the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. If somebody already fulfilled the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, it's too late to embellish it. You remember I once told you that Rav Chaim, when he wanted to test his Talmidim to see if they were sharp, he asked, which Esrog should I take first? I have an Esrog that's beautiful, but I'm not sure it's an Esrog. I have an Esrog that's really poshut, it has no Hidur whatsoever. It's the cheapest Esrog, but I know it's an Esrog. And now I have a sequence. I can take both of them. Which one should I take first?
The one that looks better.
What?
The one that looks better, but not...
Exactly. Why? Because if he takes the one that looks basic, and at that point he already fulfilled his mitzvah of ulakachtem lachem minus hidur, he has no embellishment. Then when he wants to pick up the second esrog, which is a beautiful esrog, he cannot fulfill the mitzvah of hidur because he's already yotzei the mitzvah. So therefore Reb Chaim insisted that first he should take the esrog that might not be an esrog. So if it's not an esrog, it's okay, because then he'll take the second esrog, which is a vada esrog, but at least he'll gain 50%, there's a chance that he'll gain the mitzvah of Zekei V'Yaveiru. Comes along Rav Vosner, and he says an unbelievable chiddush, that even though a person was yotzei the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, he still could fulfill the Mahadran as if it were a mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. That undermines everything that we know about Zekei V'Yaveiru and Hidur mitzvah. Hidur mitzvah has got to be an attachment to the original mitzvah. If it's all part of one mice of mitzvah, I don't know if you remember that I mentioned, but again, I'm not sure when and where I mentioned this, is something called tzitzin.
Yeah.
So that's Zekei Leviyah, as long as he didn't lift off his hand. Meaning if the mole is still cutting, he could continue. And this is on Shabbos, you know, where you have to have a real mitzvah mila. But once he lifts up his hand, then he can't do any more because it's Shabbos. And he can't cut the tzitzin she'ena makfin as a mila. Why? Because there's no heder mitzvah. He's already fulfilled his mitzvah. So for example, if I'm lighting Ner Chanukah, and I light, let's say, like Beis Hillel, Mahajim, and Mahajim. So as long as I'm still lighting the Neros, let's say it's the eighth night of Chanukah, I'm lighting eight candles, then even if, let's say, I didn't make a brach on the first candle, then I reminded myself I forgot to make a brach, I can make a brach on the second candle, because he's still involved in one continuous mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. But if, let's say, he already fulfilled his mitzvah, albeit the basic mitzvah of Ner Yishu Beiso, then at that point, I would paskin, like Rav Avadya Yosef paskins, that there's no possibility of lighting your own candle. So he wants to come home at midnight or whatever time he comes and light his own candle. Rav Avadya Yosef is absolutely opposed to it. It's a bracha levatola. Comes along Rav Avos and says, no, for the sake of Hidur Mitzvah, he can light this candle with a bracha. In other words, Hidur Mitzvah is an entity unto itself. Pele v'chiddush.
I may have missed this when I've been away, but if you're following the Ashkenazi custom and different people are lighting their own
each one candles,
and the Balabais lights the candles, says the bracha, and you say amen to his bracha, so you're included in,
so you have to have kavanah shel olotis.
Right.
Comes on Rav Oz and say you don't have to have kavanah shel olotis. Right. Why? Because you can light with a bracha simply in order to fulfill the mahaj. Rav Avadya Yosef would say the only way you can get away with that, again, he's opposed to that minute because he thinks that one candle should be lit or whatever number of candles, but on behalf of all the Bnei Abayis, there's only one madli. But if you would ask Rav Avadya Yosef, what happens if I went ahead and I lit another candle on my own? Would my bracha be a bracha of Atolah? Rav Avadya Yosef would say it depends. If you had kavanah shel olotzes, then you didn't fulfill your obligation. We can't force it down your throat. But if you didn't have kavanah shel olotzes, then you already were yotzei of mitzvah, and now it would be a bracha of Atolah. Rav Avadya would justify making a bracha simply for the purpose of mahadran. Unbelievable.
What's the name of the Rav?
Rav Vosner, Shmuel Vosner. He wrote a sefer called Shevet Halevi.
Shevet Halevi.
So he would hold that Isha is a bidyevet.
I wouldn't say it's a bidyevet. I would say it's Ner Yishu Beiso. It's the basic mitzvah. I wouldn't call that a bidyevet, but it's lacking the kiyum of Kol Echad V'Echad, meaning of that Hidur. That's why Rav Zera, according to Rav Vosner, again, it's just his hamtza'ah, you know, he created this in his mind. When Rav Zera got home, you could be absolutely sure that he lit his own candle with a bracha, because he would not forfeit the kiyum of Mahadran. And when you read this sugi, you get the exact opposite impression, that Reb Zeira was dancing in the, you know, in the air, because he was so thrilled. I'm already a married man, and my wife is fulfilling the mitzvah for me. It doesn't say anywhere that he was, you know, he was rice and kriya, he was upset and depressed because he forfeited the mitzvah of Zekei Leviyahu, of Hidur mitzvah. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Do we have the place? Let's make sure we have the place. This is approximately, shall I say, 18 to 20 lines down from the top. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. You have it? Kol hashmonim kulam yofim liner. But v'shemen zayis min amuvchar. All the oils are fine. Now here, I want to add a comment of the Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes says that why is Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi emphasizing kol hashmonim, all the oils? And the answer is, says the Sfas Emes, that he's paskening like Rav. Now we're all great scholars because we learned the sugya of Rav back on the Chof Alfam in days. And Rav holds that kovsa ein zokakla. And since kovsa ein zokakla, the Gemara says, therefore all the oils are kosher. Even oils that would be treif, that would be invalid and posel for the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos, because they're inferior quality, they would be upgraded to a status of Ner Chanukah because kovsa ein zokakla. He doesn't care about the fact that the oils will not really hold on to the flame. So therefore he emphasizes kol hashmonim kulam yofin liner. However, he makes a comment that shemen zayis min amuvchar. And the Meiri wants to say that therefore what they called Neros of Shava, which we use, what do they call them? Wax candles. He says, are okay. They're okay, but it's not the highest level. Why not? Mipnesha nes ira b'shemen. The nes happened with shemen, but again, what kind of shemen did they use? What kind of shemen was kosher for the Beis HaMikdash, for the menorah Mikdash? Only shemen zayis. Now, I have a problem here. Maybe it's not such a problem. You'll tell me. But I'm bothered by this. Because if the advantage of Shemen Zayas is because the nest took place in the Mikdash with Shemen Zayas, then maybe we should go a step further and require what's called Kosis Lamar. Not every Shemen Zayas was kosher from the menorah and Mikdash. You need what's called Kosis. And that's a very special and expensive kind of an oil. It's like the first drop that comes out of the olive. Now, if you buy olive oil today in the street, in the market, it'll say on the outside "Shemen Kosis." You know, that's just an advertising shtick. You know, that's for purposes of marketing. But it's not halachic kosis. You know, don't be fooled by that. Don't think that you can take that oil and use it in the Beis HaMikdash. So it's a very interesting thing that Chazal wanted a zecher l'migdash, Shemen Zayis. Is it crosses the line, the minimum line of Zechel Migdash. Meaning, you know, how far are we going to go in order to duplicate what went on in the Migdash? For example, should I ask a Kohen to light my menorah of Hanukkah because in the Migdash it was the Kohen who lit it? You know, how far are you going to go with Zechel Migdash? So truth be told, I once wanted to say the following. Again, they mamish threw me out for saying this. But I wanted to say that in the Beis HaKnesses, if you have a choice between two people, Don, you'll be excited about this, so you won't throw me out. Two people who should light the candles in the Beis HaKnesses, I prefer the Kohen. Why? Because Beis HaKnesses is purely 100% unadulterated Zechel HaMikdash. If we're doing it Zechel HaMikdash, then we have to get the Kohen involved. In fact, I'll tell you something. The reason why I'm not totally crazy is because the Shulchan Aruch paskins that in the Beis HaKnesses, Madlik Bitzad Doron, he should light on the southern side of the shul. Says the Mishnah Berurah, why? Mishum Zechel HaMikdash. The menorah in the Heichal stood on the southern side. So again, you see that in the Beis HaKnesses at least, we want to go beyond. Nobody says that in your house you have to light an Er Hanukkah Bitzad Doron. Right, it all depends upon where your door is and where your mezuzah is and so forth and so on. But nobody says to put it on the southern side. So if somebody would say, oh, I want to light my Ner Hanukkah on the southern side, for that I would mamish throw him on his head. Because that's absolutely ridiculous. And that undermines the whole key of Beis HaKnesses. But again, you know, the whole issue that I'm talking about here in the context of Shemen Zayis is how far are we going to go? You know, we can't duplicate exactly what went on in the Mikdash. We don't have a Makom Mikdash. And we're lighting in the Bayis, not in the Beis HaKnesses. So we have to find a linkage to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Nes. So what is that linkage? Says Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, the linkage is going to be what? Shemen Zayis. What other linkage do we have before Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? Anybody remember we discussed this? To link up the Ner with Beis HaMikdash? Also Lishtamish Li'orah. Says the Baal HaMor, also l'shtamish li'ora, even for the sake of another mitzvah. We have a concept called bizu mitzvah. Bizu mitzvah applies when you want to use a mitzvah for your own purposes. But if you want to use it for another mitzvah, that's not called bizu mitzvah. Says the Baal HaMor, because Ner Chanukah has a different dimension to it. Also l'shtamish li'ora is not because of bizu mitzvah. Even if you're doing it for the sake of a greater mitzvah, it would still be aser. Why? Because in Mikdash, the ner in the menorah was also l'shtamish klal. You could not use and benefit from the illumination of the ner shev Mikdash, even for the sake of another mitzvah. So if we gave ner Chanukah that upgraded status of a ner shev menorah, then we're going to have to abstain and be enjoined from any benefit whatsoever, even if there's no element of bizu mitzvah. And then we have the Ravid. Who remembers the Ravid? Okay, the Ravid says that the bracha, Asher Kidshanu Mitzvot Tzivanu, lehadlik. Now in a mitzvah drabbanon, like Megillah, we say al mikramidu. He says that this bracha was established in the Beis HaMikdash. When they lit the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, they made a bracha with a lamid, lehadlik, because the mitzvah d'oraisa, and we want to connect Ner Chanukah to the Beis HaMikdash, so we continue that bracha. And now we're no longer in the Beis HaMikdash, we're in our homes, but we're going to light with a lamed, with a bracha of a lamed, because the bracha of the lamed connects us to the original bracha, as it were, recited in the Beis HaMikdash. Comes along Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and he adds another piece to the puzzle. What else is going to connect that Ner Chanukah to the Beis HaMikdash? The answer is Shemen, Shemen Zayis.
I notice here that we light it in the Daron, but we light it by an interior wall. In other words, you could very easily light it in the back window, which is in the Daron, which would show, you know, Pesach and Nisan, but Davka don't. Is there any reason that we light it where we do?
Let me think about that for a second. I would have to do more research, but my impulse tells me that there are no windows through which you could see the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. Again, they had a different kind of a window.
Because it's only Zeichel HaMikdash, then we don't have to...
Right, so I'm thinking that if the purpose of Ner Chanukah in the Beis HaKnesses is twofold, it's Pirsum HaNes for the people, the Tzibur, who are there, who are gathered, that's inside the Beis HaKnesses, and number two, it's Zeichel HaMikdash, then maybe we don't need a window for that. But again, I'm just giving you my impulse. Okay. Omar Abaye. Abaye tells a story about himself. Meiresh originally havi mahader mar amishcha deshumshime. I made a mistake. He's not telling the story about himself. He's telling the story about his Rebbe called Mar. Now the Rebbe of Abaye's name was Rabba, and Abaye testifies that Rabba initially used to light with sesame oil. What is superior about sesame oil? Why did he prefer sesame oil? Fi Omar and Rabbi used to declare, "Hai Moshech Nahore Tfe." So I don't know if you could Google this and get the physics for me, but somehow, in the case of a sesame oil, it lasts longer. In other words, the combustibility or the rate of combustibility is that much slower than that of Shemen Zayis. Shemen Zayis burns up very quickly. Again, when I say very quickly, I mean relative to sesame oil. So I don't know if anybody could do me a favor. Maybe you could either experiment or ask Dr. G, you know, Google and see if you could actually find the physics for this. Mitch, do you have any feeling about this? You're a physicist, no? No. All right. So anyway, let's just grant the premise is true. Again, I don't know. We have to check it out. But that sesame oil doesn't burn that fast. So therefore, he wants to make sure that the candle l'chatchila. Again, we pass in kav saying zakakla. So you certainly could be yotzi with shemen zayis. But if all things were equal, we prefer that the candle last a little bit longer. Now, if I would ask you a different question, again, this is totally in physics. Which flame is more beautiful? More clear, you could see it from a distance, if you compare Shumshum to Zayas. Oh, so you know the answer. You Googled it, or you read the next Gemara?
Right here.
Ah, okay. Well, I was hoping you didn't read the next Gemara. Okay. So he says the following. Came unto Shomalei when Rabbah heard from Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Laha, the Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, the Mahader Amishcha Zezesa, that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi would work very hard to try to supply olive oil, get access to olive oil. Omar, so Rabbah declared the following. Hai Tzolil Nahore Tfe, that the flame of olive oil is more clear and it gives a certain quality of light that's superior to that of a flame that comes from sesame oil. Now it's interesting. We presented the thesis before we saw Abaye that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was trying to achieve at Zeichel HaMikdash. And I quoted that in the name of the Meiri. I'll read it to you again in the name of the Meiri. The Meiri says, "Yesh lahadir ulahadlik ner Chanukah b'shemen v'lo b'nei rosh shava v'chadoma neshanes Ira b'shemen." Ah, you see, now that I read it a second time, I'm a little bit confused about what the Meiri has in mind. Just one second. Alkeinu kol hashmonim yofim el shemen zayis muvchar biyoser mipnei shanes ira b'shemen. You said it's a little bit unclear. He should have, in the way I would understand this, the Meiri should have added one word: mipnei shanes ira b'shemen zayis. And that makes shemen zayis singularly the best shemen for the mitzvah of Ner Chanuk, but he doesn't say that. Shanes ira b'shemen, and the Meiri is coming to exclude shemen, Ner Shava. So it could be, but I don't know how you read this into Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Let me see it again. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, kol hashmonim kulam yafim l'ner. The shemen, no, clearly, yeah, clearly no, because, he prefers shemen zayis.
The Meiri is just telling you, but the Meiri is just telling you that kol hashmonim, but excluding anything else. Kol hashmonim is good for ner, but not any other product. No.
But what I'm asking, Osher, maybe you're giving me the answer. The Meiri asks the following question: you have a choice. You can use neros of shava, right, or neros of shemen. Says the Meiri, you should choose neros of shemen because ira nes b'shemen. He doesn't add the word zayis. So the Meiri doesn't really justify why Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi would choose shemen zayis over other shmonim. You know, if it's just because the nes was in the Migdash was in shemen, then shemen shumshemen should be just as good. And what do I gain by saying that shemen shumshemen would be just as good? Because again, we always have to define how far we have to go to pass the bar and remind us of the Migdash. So if as far as we have to go, says Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, is shemen, any shemen is good enough, and you don't need shemen zayis for that, then I understand why the Gemara explains that why is shemen zayis superior to shemen shumshemen is because the flame is that much more clear. Why did the Gemara need that? Why didn't the Gemara just say that the nest took place in the Migdash with shemen zayis? It's a little bit of a pella. Why the Gemara had to introduce? You're not following my question.
No, I don't see the question.
Does all right, so let me ask my question one more time. You'll tell me where I missed the boat. I'm suggesting the following. If we were to assume that I have a choice decision, I have a choice to make between Shemen Zayas and other Shmonim, and I would choose Shemen Zayas because the nest took place in Shemen Zayas, then why does the Gemara add this whole piece, which seems to be so superfluous, and says, Hai Tzolil Nahore Tfei, that in the choice between Shemen Zayis and Shemen Shumshemin, I'm going to prefer Shemen Zayis because it's Tzolil Tfei. What does Tzolil Tfei mean? The quality of what? Of the flame is superior quality. Leave that out. We don't have to discuss the quality of the flame. All we have to know is that the nest took place in the Beis HaMikdash with Shemen Zayis. Add to that, that the Meiri, when he discusses Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, says Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's choice decision was between Shemen and Shava. And he says, let's prefer Shemen, because the next era is Shemen. He doesn't add the word Zayas. Asher, what's the answer to my question? I'm perplexed. Are you able to empathize with my question?
I empathize.
Oh, okay, good. Empathy is always a good thing.
Maybe again, it's telling us more Pesuminisa. It's much more, more beautiful. Hidur mitzvah, Pesuminisa,
right,
with a beautiful flame.
I'm just wondering, why do you have to do that to justify the choice or the preference of Shemen Zayis? I wouldn't need to know this physics about which is a clearer,
Because if you only have to do Shemen Zayis, so then you're limiting that, maybe Chasal Mamono Shaklal Yisrael. You don't want to do that. You don't want to make a mitzvah that says you must do Shemen Zayis. If you said that, if the halacha was you must do near Chanukah with Shemen Zayis, You put Klal Yisrael in a bind, because the price of oil is going to go way up. Comes Hanukkah, it's going to be a real problem. Hanukkah
could
gonna,
be. I don't know. I don't know enough about the economic fluctuation of market.
Say, but Shemen Zayis,
because
that was what was used in the Mikdash as opposed to the flame.
Because
he doesn't give us an initial reason that it was used in the Mikdash.
Correct.
He's saying it's choices, and now why is it choices? Because it gives a clearer and brighter light. That's his first reason.
Right, so I'm just saying that when we read Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and we see in Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Kol Hashmonim Kulam Yofim L'Ner, but V'Shemen Zayis Minam Buvchar, why Shemen Zayis Minam Buvchar? So I told you that the Meiri says, because Hanes Ira B'Shemen, which means that we try to link up to the Beis HaMikdash.
Yeah, but that's the Meiri, but here Yeshua ben Levi isn't saying that. At least it's not saying it in the Gemara.
He's just saying.
Right. Okay. So
he's giving us.
You know, Don. It's very easy to reject the Meiri, but
I'm not rejecting
him. I, you know, the Meiri is one of the Rishonim. I'd like to understand the Meiri, but I'm just pointing out that when Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says that he prefers Shemit Zayis as a mitzvah of a Mufkar, you know, it seems that from the Gemara itself that has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash, has to do with the quality of the Ner.
Could you read the Meiri again?
So yeah, I'll read to you the Meiri one more time.
Is that the whole Meiri? Right. Is that,
well, I don't have the Meiri in front of me, so I'm sorry, I apologize. This is what you call shoddy scholarship, but he summarizes the Meiri. He says the fine, Kavanas Rabbi Yeshua ben Levihi sheyesh lahadir ulahadlik ner chanukah b'shemen velo b'neiros shava v'chadome. So again, his choice is shemen. Again, even though it says Shemen Zayis in our Gemara, so I don't know. But Shemen or Shava. And why Shemen? Mipnesha Nes Ira B'Shemen. So it sounds like the Miri is saying that in order to achieve the Nes Ira B'Shemen element, all you need is to choose Shemen as opposed to Shava.
What's Shava?
Shava is what? Now you ask me, what if I have two different Shmadim? Which Shemen is preferable? That Rabbi Shmuel Levi so far didn't say anything. And that's going to become clear in the Hemshech HaSugya, which has nothing to do with Zeichel and Es. That's my suggestion, that the Zeichel and Es could be achieved with any Shemen. Whether it's Shemen Shum Shemin, whether it's Shemen Agozim, whether it's Shemen Zayas. But the reason why he prefers Shemen Zayas, says the Meiri, and that's why the Meiri leaves out the word Zayas over here. Let's read again the Meiri. The Meiri says, Mipnei Shanes Ira B'Shemen.
Okay.
He's not interested in Shemen Zayis. That fall we don't have to get. That was my suggestion. And why was I suggesting that? Because the Gemara later on says that Rava now switched to, based on Rabbi Shmuel Levi, switches Minog and now uses Shemen Zayis. And why, says the Gemara? We would have thought maybe he would say because the Nes Ira B'Shemen Zayis, but the answer is no. If you want to achieve the Zeichel HaMikdash of the Nes, you don't need Shemen Zayis. All you need is Shemen, as opposed to the Shava. And if you ask me, therefore, why is one Shemen superior to the other? Why did Rabbi Shmuel Levi put Shemen Zayis on the top of his list? That's because of the quality. That's what I was trying to suggest. And I think the Meiri is very meduyak because the Meiri doesn't add that word Zayis.
Could it be that it was implied that when he said that Shemen, the implication was Shemen Zayis? Based on the historical fact that it was used in the...
That's what I thought. But now I'm telling you that it doesn't give me an opening to neither to explain to maintain the integrity of the sugya, because otherwise, if the Gemara is talking about the Nes in Migdash, and that justifies the choice of Shemen Zayis, why would the Gemara have to introduce the quality of the Nes? So Asher says, because of financial considerations, that needs a lot of work. And now I gain also to understand why the Meiri was comparing Shemen, which I thought was specifically Shemen Zayis, to Ner Shava. And if the Meiri had understood that Shemen Zayis was chosen because of historical reasons, then he wouldn't have to introduce Shemen, he wouldn't have to choose Ner Shel Shava. He was just going to simply said, let's choose of all the Shmonim. I've already said in my opening line, Rabbi Shimon Levi, that all Shmonim are Yafa, they're all fine. Now I want to single out one specific Shemen because of the historical connection. Well, if that be the case, then why did the Meiri have to talk about Ner Shava? He just sort of said, you have two kinds or classifications of Shemen, which Shemen should you use? Because I just finished saying, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that all the Shmonim are fine. But no, there's a mitzvah in a Mufkar Dafka to choose Shemen Zayis. The Meiri's not going with that. See, after all is said and done, if the Meiri is interpreting that the whole issue of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was a choice between Shemen and Shava, I don't understand why Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi went a step further and he added the word Shemen Zayis. And that's what the Gemara, according to the Meiri, is going to clarify later on. The Gemara actually didn't know this. The Gemara at this point, according to the Meiri, would not have an answer to the question why Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi preferred Shemen Zayis above and beyond all the other Shmonim. Because Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is only telling you to prefer Shemen Zayis above and beyond Shemen Shava. Oh, so why did he mention Shemen Zayis? We don't know. And at this point in the Sugya, the Gemara doesn't know the answer to that question. It's only later when Rabbah made a statement, and he's been quoted by his Talmud Abaye, that I would prefer Shemen Zayis based on Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi because of the quality of Shemen Zayis. Now we understand why Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi isolated isolated Shem inside. So Rav Ol said, let's say you had three choices in front of you. Here are your three choices. You've got Shem in Zayas, you've got Shem in Shumshemin, and you've got Neros Shava. So it works like this. You're going to choose which? Shem in Zayas. Why? Because Tzol Tfeh, it has more of a clarity. Now I'm going to ask you a second question. What happens if I don't have Shem in Zayas? All I have is Shem in Shava and Shem in Shumshemin. So that extra advantage of Tzol Tfeh I don't have. I'm still going to choose Shem in Shumshemin. Why? Because of Zecha Lines, based on the Meiri, that the Meiri says Sheira Hanes b'Shemen, not b'Shava. Therefore, the Meiri says we prefer Shemen. He's not focused on Shemen Zayis. The answer to that question is only going to come later on when the Gemara introduces the physics of Tzol Tfeh, and that's going to be the story.
So, but I don't understand. Rabbi Shimon Levi, he's excluding. It seems to me you could look at Rabbi Shimon Levi and say he's excluding everything except Shemen, because he says Kol Hashmonim, all Shemen is good for the thing. So this is not saying anything else. Now he's whatever reason, but I don't know where would you come up with Shabbat? Where would you come to say Shabbat from Rabbi Shimon Levi? Where would you come to say the Shabbat that you might ever use Shabbat? From a Shubha
Levi. Not that you can't use Shabbat, you could use Shabbat. The Miri is not denying that. The Miri is only saying.
From a Shubha Levi, I don't know that I could. I would allow Shabbat. He says, Kol Hashmonim. It doesn't say anything about anything else. Maybe Rabbi Shimon Levi.
Okay, so you could reject the Meiri. I was just trying to understand the Meiri, because I have a Kabbalah for my Rebbe that we don't argue against Rishonim. We try to understand the Rishonim, and if we don't understand the Rishonim, it's like a person standing in front of Rembrandt and painting, and he says, "I don't see the godless of Rembrandt." The problem is not in Rembrandt; that's your problem. So I'm looking at the Meiri and I'm racking my brains to try to figure out. Again, I read the Meiri and he says, "Kavanas Rabbi Shimon Levi is Yesh Lahadir Lahadlik Ner Chanukah B'Shemen V'Lo V'Neiro Shafa." So I asked myself the following question. If Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was just preferring Shemen over Shava, why does he focus on Shemen Zayas? He should drop the Zayas over here. And the Miri goes on and he says, why do we want Shemen and not Shava? Mipnei She'ira Anes B'Shemen. He doesn't mention Zayas. It's almost as if the Miri dropped the word Zayas here. And he says, Shemen min amuvchar, meaning as opposed to Ner Shava. Again, I can't explain the language of the Gemara. It's very difficult. Now you'll ask the Miri, so, okay, I prefer Shemen over Shava because Shemen is Zecha L'Nes. But why should I prefer Shemen Zayas? You haven't given me a clue about that. And that's going to only become clarified later on. So, Rabbos, I just want to mention where we're up to here. There's a sugya here that I'm going to skip with your permission, because we're not learning the halach of Ksiva Sefer Torah. And the question is, which Shemen is best for Ksiva Sefer Torah? Meaning, we have something called Dio. Dio is an ink, but amongst the various ingredients in making dio for writing a Sefer Torah, one is shemen. So the question is, which shemen is going to be the proper ingredient for dio? So we're going to skip that. So if you could make a note for tomorrow that B'li Neder, we're going to start with Omar Rav Chiya Bar Ashi Omar Rav. Okay, so we're skipping approximately how many lines? Maybe 5 lines of Gemara. And tomorrow we're going to talk B'li Neder about the bracha on Ner Chanukah. And specifically the brach of Shasa Nisim Lavan. So I wish everyone a great day. Because that's called a bias for the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. So once it's a bias, I don't need the pruta. The problem with a pruta is if you're not considered part of the bias. But in the case of Nisak Neset, yeah, everyone's part of that bias. It's a Beis HaMikdash, and everybody has a kiyum of Ner Chanukah in the bias. Once the Beis HaKnesses has the kiyum of Ner Chanukah, that's going to solve his problem, the Oreh's problem of how does he fulfill his personal obligation? Where's the bias? The answer is the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaKnesses is a substitute for the Beis HaMikdash. Not so in the case of a private household, because there, what shakas does he have to the Bnei HaBayis? And the answer is, Ishtatus Bekri. Okay.
pointed out there are three connections from the Ner Chanukah to the Beit HaMikdash. One is the using the olive oil. Right? The other one is lo mishtamesh for personal use. Right? And what's the third one?
Why would you prefer olive oil?
No, no.
What? Say it again?
No. We're using olive oil because olive oil...
I'm sorry, get motherhood. So.
Okay. Olive oil... I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
No, you said there were three things that connect the olive oil to the beta, to the Beit HaKnesset.
No, three things that connect the Hanukkah candle to the Beit HaKnesset.
Okay. One was olive oil.
Olive oil. One number was two was asul ishtabish li ora, even for the sake of a mitzvah.
Okay.
And that's only because of migdash. And number three was the bracha was lahadlik ner shel chanukah with the lamp.
Okay.
Okay, then.
Thank you.